raps for my friend the tax man.
End quote. And the professor's disquisition is considerably condensed and incorporated into psychiatrist Danny Kaufman's speech in Miles' office. Yet Miles' hypothesis, as the two couples stare in awe at the popping pods in his greenhouse, that, quote, so much has been discovered in these past years that anything is possible, end quote, is sufficiently general to allow for multiple treatments. Today, in the era of late capitalism and corporate globalization, and with genetic engineering, artificial intelligence, robotics, and the internet more the stuff of science fact than science fiction, we have the ability to reproduce ourselves and be reproduced as never before. Given these new technologies,
today, not tomorrow,
we should expect the original version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers to remain relevant and compelling for viewers, and that there will be yet further remakes in the future. End of the excerpt from the book. That just about says it all for national sufferers of top draw delusion. And it's a pretty good summary of the book and the film. Well, thanks for listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland, and also to Film at 11, which will be back next Friday, February the 5th. So until then, as they say in The Thing, keep watching the screens.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area, and all over the world at kbu.fm.
Be sure to tune into Radio Lost and Found, where many radio mysteries will be revealed. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour mediascape of found sounds, forgotten records, outre recordings, and more, coming to you every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
The 2024 election is coming, and we at KBOO want to make sure your voice is heard. Take KBOO's election agenda survey and help our volunteer reporters and programmers cover the 2024 election. We want to know, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? Fill out our survey by August 14th, and you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a $50 Visa gift card. Full rules on our website. At the end of August, we'll report back with the community's priorities. Find that survey online at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey2024. That's bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24.
KBOO Community Radio is now on Venmo. Follow us and send a donation anytime at KBOO Radio. That's at KBOO Radio. Thanks.
Hi, this is Pat Metheny. You're listening to Radio KBOO here in Portland.
And yeah, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and we welcome you once more to one of our new public affairs programs. That is Once Upon a Time with Consuelo. We're live in the air room, and I want to remind you that you could participate by calling 503-231-8187. That is 503-231-8187. And hey, once upon a time. Hey, Consuelo.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Here we are again. Another wonderful Friday at this nice station, who give us the opportunity to bring these talented people, men and women, who love art. In this occasion, I have a young poet, very young indeed, in my opinion, and more reason for him to be here. He need to be promoting and to show what he's writing, and to let our audience know him. His name is Joshua Palmer, and hi, Josh, how are you today? So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Consuelo. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm really happy to be here and so grateful to have the opportunity. Yeah, like she said, my name's Joshua Palmer. I'm 25. I just moved to Portland about 4 years ago from Estes Park, Colorado. We got the Rocky Mountain National Park. Estes Park's a big tourist town. We also have the Stanley Hotel, where parts of The Shining were filmed. That's actually where, what's his name? The guy, Stephen King.
Oh, very good.
he got inspired to write The Shining from staying the night in that hotel. It's one of the most haunted hotels in America.
Tell a little bit about your poetry, your literature. How, at mm-hmm. what age did you start writing?
I started writing when I was in high school and middle school, but mostly high school, because that's when I started really dealing with a lot of depression, anxiety, stress, and having that creative outlet was how I got myself out of all of those really harsh feelings, and just kind of was able to use my writing to have my own little safe space on the paper.
Beautiful. Bueno, this is what we have been trying to tell our audience all the time, how much word help us to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what you're talking about. Those words help you to heal with your inner feeling and emotion, and probably a kind of confusion about who you are. You were just growing up. And mm-hmm. did you start writing poetry or fiction?
Poetry.
Poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And who has been your inspiration, your favorite poet or singer or whatever?
Yeah, to be completely honest, I don't really know that many poets. I really, for someone who writes poetry, I don't really read that many poets. It's something that I have been wanting to do more of, is reading more people who, you know, are more renowned and have been writing for a long time. I mostly go off of, like, musical artists, I guess. So before we started the... before we got on air, we were talking about an artist named Nako in Medicine for the People, who was raised in Portland. Nako was, and yeah, he's been a huge inspiration for me to keep with my creativity and healing in all aspects. But
very good.
Yeah.
I think it's important to read other poets. Not only because we all need some level of inspiration, is because it helps us to find our own voice in a way that we read somebody else. We said, no, I cannot write like him, but I can write like her.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like the way she does this, or I like the way he play with the word. That is one of the reasons, because it's important. It's like to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You go to one restaurant and then you come home and you say, oh, I will take and this and that for the recipe that I had, and that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And expose ourselves to get to know more about the craft. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have a lot of people, like friends and then, you know, other artists that I definitely draw that inspiration from. Like you were saying, you see something that you really like, and like that style. I remember the energy and like the style of people's writing, and I just don't remember names that well.
No, it's not important.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but what you remember is the style, and that is it's a tool for you in the future.
Yeah.
When you are so young as you are, and you start a few years ago writing, you need all the inspiration that you can get, even if you think that you have so much, because you
mm-hmm.
are a sensitive young man, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And you have been going through difficult period. And one question is, the writing come alone? I mean, one day you said, oh, the best way that I can express myself and feel better is to write. Why you didn't paint, for example, or play the guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Why was writing?
Yeah, I also do, I do draw,
yeah,
not as often as I write.
Yeah.
And I play ukulele and guitar. Mm. But yeah, no, when it comes to the writing, I think just because I am a very wordy person, I overthink everything. I'm constantly overanalyzing things, and there's a lot of words floating around in my head. I think, yeah, getting words out on paper, especially in a way that if I can get into that flow state where my feelings are just expressing themselves in words, that I can read those words and I can kind of analyze my own thoughts, or even just read my own thoughts and read how I'm feeling. It helps me better understand myself, and then better communicate myself to other people as well. It's like, often if I'm in a conversation with somebody and I'm just not really sure how I feel about, or how to, if I get caught up, if my words are jumbling together, kind of like just then, I can be like, oh, I have a poem that kind of relates to what we're talking about right now. And then I can share that poem, and then it kind of helps things
communicate, yeah, with the other person.
Yeah.
And do you have a journal, or have you had a journal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go through several different journals. Also just for like, it's funny. I have different journals for different things, but I usually end up like, when inspiration hits, my work journal or something like that will have a poem just written in it here and there, because sometimes the inspiration comes and you can't stop it.
Very good. And that, do you have a kind of discipline for writing? Or you expect to be in a kind of crisis and then you start writing? Or you do you write every day, even one sentence, whatever happened to you that day, or how you feel?
Yeah, no, that's something I do. I want to start having more of that kind of like discipline, or like just we can call
commitment,
right?
Discipline,
yeah.
And we can call also seriousness, mm-hmm, and that we dedicate more time to our craft.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess habit was also a word I was thinking,
yes,
of. Making
good.
It a habit, like a daily habit to just, yeah, write, even if...
Method, I would say, method. Mm-hmm. That's mean you organize your schedule in a way that you said, I have a very dear friend that he used to say, each day a sentence.
Mm.
Even if it's just a sentence, but mm-hmm, you write. And I have read many other writers that says something similar. But I think the idea that to have a journal is fantastic, and maybe you can combine, and there you have a book already, mm-hmm, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it's also a matter of just kind of sitting down and kind of putting together my poems. I keep looking at how many poems I have, and I feel like I do have enough to actually, like, put out a little book.
Yeah. I am sure you do. Mm-hmm. And so let's start with this wonderful poem that I like very much, that is, mm-hmm, without any doubt, autobiographical, mm-hmm, or autobiography, called Titled Parts.
Yeah. So yeah, this one, you want me to just read it first and then talk about,
yes,
the inspiration? Cool. All right. It's okay to be happy. You don't have to suffer. In this time of letting go, you just might need a buffer. As you soften out the edges of your hard and jagged shadow, it'll start to squirm around with a grandiose bravado. Holding on to many things which you no longer need, while enlightening your world as you're deciding what to feed. There's the part that craves suppression, one in desperate need of freedom, one of glorious expression, and the one that rules the kingdom. These versions of the self all have their part to play, so I won't give in to fear, and I'll listen to what they say. They don't want me to hurt, so they take away my pain. They want me to live with meaning, so I can dance in heavy rain. We're coexisting here, in this body and this mind, so let's learn to live together, as we work with what we find. It's the purpose in this life to be everything we are. It's what the universe wants. It is written in the stars. This journey has its challenges. We decline so we can rise, then remember our advantages. to be grateful for our time. In the end, you can't hold down a feeling or a soul, but you can learn to forgive yourself if compassion is your goal.
It's a beautiful poem, huh?
Thank you.
I like it very much. Do you remember when you write it?
Yeah, I wrote this one about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
While I was going through an identity crisis, I was discovering just how much dissociation I had throughout childhood, and to the point that I was starting to believe that I had DID, or dissociative identity disorder, both with just like my... So I'm also an actor too, so there's like, I like playing roles. So there's like a lot of these different parts of my personality, or like kind of like these fragmented states also from childhood trauma and all sorts of things, where like these splits happened in my life, where there's like, I don't really feel like I have a solid foundation of just like being one singular person. And through therapy, I'm working through that and feeling more whole as a person, knowing that there's like, in the poem, it says, you know, the one that rules the kingdom. So that's like, you know, like this, the me as at the center of it all. And then knowing that there's always like a kind of like a through line of the... like me as the center, who is able to discern between these different aspects of myself and know what resonates and what I should like focus on, and then what is kind of like a side, like something that just kind of is like sitting on the side, or like there's like the inner child, or the inner critic. There's like the one that's just kind of attacking me, but like there's still it still has a role to play, because even though it's a harsh critic and it's an attacker and it's causes a lot of problems, it's still helpful in some ways. Because it's like a survival mechanism that I feel all of us have.
Also it's important to let it go, like you said, right, in the poem, very important. And also, I guess we all have some certain level of fragmentation,
mm-hmm,
and between our job, between our feeling, our emotion, our mm-hmm profession, our role, different role. Is you don't need to be an actor, because we are acting every single day.
Yeah.
When I come to the radio, I am somebody I am not where, right, I work or at home. So the same happened to you. I think in your case, it's more the disconnection between your past and your present, mm-hmm, that you don't see that connection between the child that you were and between the young man that you are now. Mm-hmm. That is the reason, because you have that identity crisis.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, for sure. And it's also like finding the blessing in the fragmentation.
Yeah, sure. You are very rich.
Yeah.
How many people can say, oh, I have almost 10 personalities?
Right.
I think it's very nice, because in some ways you are, but what you need is the main road, the mm-hmm highway. And from the highway, you have different exit.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that is the main road, the highway, that you are building right now. Bueno, take your time.
Right.
I am much older than you are, and still I am building,
yeah,
a lot of other exit road or places where who I can be, like this one. And it's very nice. And I was asking you before, who are you writing in this poem? I mean, you are talking, this version of the self all have their part to play, so I won't give it to fear. But there is a kind of third voice here. It's a narrator, or is God, or is the destined? What it is? Who is you are writing to? It's him.
Yeah.
As we work with what we find, it is the perfect purpose in this life. Yes, you are telling to yourself, or you are telling to us as a reader, obviously, but to whom are you writing?
Yeah, mostly to myself, yeah. But also to inspire other people as well. But yeah, it's like the, as we work with what we find, it's like, rather than seeing that fragmentation and pushing away all these other parts, to come together and have all of these like opposing parts of myself working together towards a common goal, towards that, like, you know, going down that highway like you were talking about.
Yes.
And navigating that path together rather than trying to having every part like having their own focus on something different and scattering it.
Yeah, diversity is very positive. But I think what how you put all the pieces together is true value,
mm-hmm.
and your meaning in life, and what are your goal and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Those help you to put all the puzzle and the pieces in the right place. And it's fine to be an actor. It's fine to be playing the ukulele. It's great to be writing poems. It's good to be a caretaker. It's great to live in Oregon. Those things are all positive. And also it's not good or bad. It's who I am, because I am very sensitive, sensible, and it's impulsive, and who knows what, and courageous. And so you put everything in a place, and you work with the pieces.
Yeah.
And there is a moment where you come, the actor. How much the acting has been helping you to write? It has helping you or not at all?
I'd say it helps a lot, because like a lot of improv or a lot of acting does involve improv sometimes, being able to just go with the flow of things. So that's a big thing with writing poetry, is just improvising words, and then also having empathy for like characters, having empathy for yourself, and being able to feel your feelings and articulate those feelings.
Yeah, very good. I agree. As a play writer, I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go for the If You Say Something.
Yeah, this is titled Co-Creation. Actually, yeah, it's a perfect segue from like working together, all the parts working together.
Okay.
If you say something, I'll listen. Then I'll add to the beauty of the words you painted. The way you use the canvas of your voice is something magical. Just as the clouds make shapes in the sky, so too does your mouth bringing form and vibration. The waves of your vocal cords hit the drums of my ears, making the beat of communication. Such beautiful music it is to play with notes coming from our minds as we dance around each other. We fill this space with nothing more than what was already there, the only difference being how we look at it, which also comes from choosing to see things another way. And I thank you for lending me your eyes to see what I couldn't with my own, for that is what brought me to finding what was in the same place I looked before, only this time with fresh perspective and open mind. Now, let's continue this expression of making something, from nothing to something, from something to everything, to all you see, to all you've ever heard, to all you've ever known, to all you will never know. You don't know, but someone does. And you've got something they don't. We all have something someone else doesn't. We all have impossibly unique ways to add to the infinity of creation. So let's cooperate, communicate. Let's co-create the most beautiful masterpiece here on the canvas of Earth. Open each other's eyes to what has been here since before we were born. The art of life.
Mm. So sweet, isn't it? So sweet. It's almost a statement of solidarity and empathy. And this is, when did you write this wonderful piece too?
That one I wrote about 2.5 years ago.
Oh.
Maybe three.
Yeah. You have to put date.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we have to put date. Yeah, because memory sometimes doesn't work the way we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And how you interpret this wonderful piece. It's a very musical, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, I feel like it's a big problem in America and just the whole world, is people just not like giving space for each other and really hearing each other. There's a big disconnect. There's like a dissonance between everybody that, you know, like my opinion is better than yours, so I'm not even going to listen to yours, and my truth is bigger than your truth, and you know.
And what do you have you identify why the world is this way during this 21st 21st century? Or it has been before other previous era the same? Mm. Or it's because we haven't changed as a human being? What is your interpretation?
Yeah.
Do you have an interpretation why the world is the way? Because this is also a complaint. You are asking and say, we need to change. We need to be more generous. We need to be more empathic. We need to be more compassionate. Second time you speak about compassion.
Yeah.
It's a very important quality. And so why do you think we are being so selfish or self-centered? What is your opinion?
Yeah, I think people forget that like everyone is human and we're all complex. And no one is all good or all bad. Even like the people that you look up to the most, that, you know, seem like they have just like nothing but beauty and love to offer, they still have their shadow self. They still have these negative aspects of themselves, these ugly parts of themselves. And I feel like it's also a big thing with like cancel culture, where you know, somebody who like so many people have looked up to for so long, they find like one thing to just tear them down with, and then they see that one thing as the totality of the person, when, you know, people are, they have a lot more going on than people realize.
It's true. I think we sometimes lose the capacity to be really looking at the other or listen, like the poem said, I will listen. That is very important. And your analysis brought back memory, the definition of a saint. A saint is a man who didn't give up.
Mm.
So that means that you keep trying to be the best you can be.
Yeah.
And that is magical. And obviously, many times we forget about that the person who is in front of us is also human, and he has maybe more problems than we do and conflict, and we don't pay attention to that. And we don't take into consideration that we all are vulnerable and fragile, sometimes even weak, and at the same intelligent, full of creativity, beauty, talent. It's a wonderful combination. I mean, I don't want to be nothing else than a woman, a human, with all my complexity. That is very, very much a lot.
For sure.
But also, we have this creativity, because who you are playing, acting. You are a complete artist. When I met you, two weeks ago, more or less, and that was the first thing Josh told me. I am an artist. I am a poet, and I said, "Oh! You have to come to my show, because it's very, very important." I think also that there is a lack of communication. That is the reason, because we don't listen to one another.
Yeah.
And in spite of all the social media, what is only selfish, because you speak about yourself. that has been interrupt the big conversation that we have at the dinner table, we have with our parents, with our friend, with our pets. That is something that now is not happening as much. And sometimes people tell me, oh, no, I don't have time for this. Why you don't have time? It's going to be a meaningful conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also see like it's like there's several like echo chambers. There's where there's different groups where, you know, it's just the same words just floating around over and over again. And then it's like with the communication and co-creating something, you know, working together towards a common goal where we can all hear each other out, and rather than just all of these sounds and all these voices just piling on top of each other, you can't really like listen to each other when there's just all this noise everywhere. So it's giving space for each other to actually like, because if we're just at each other's throats all the time, then nothing is ever going to happen. And we see all this pain in the world and war and that needs to change, and the only way for that to change is if we start
being more compassionate. But at the same time, we have to recognize that the world has changed, especially, for example, for women. I know that if I was born in another period of the life, I would have been burned like Jeanne d'Arc,
for sure,
the woman I admire very much. And so the situation of women has been changed from other periods and to now, not enough as the way we would have liked it, but it has improved, and we have to recognize the good thing of our era, because there are a lot of good things, and still there is a lot of good people.
Absolutely.
What we have to do is to have those good people around us. We have to be selective about who get into our heart and who get out of our heart. In that mission I am right now. Okay. Here we are with Josh Palmer. Our line are always 503-231-8187, and we are going to listen a little bit of music, his favorite singer, and go ahead.
Oh, yeah, this is Nako and Medicine for the People. His music has gotten me through so many hard times in my life and so many other people that I've talked to. He's really cool. This is a song called Mataki Owasan, about being connected with nature and healing from that place.
Very good. A Portland guy, a Portland artist. So let's listen and then prepare your phone and your question. And call us. We will be very happy, as always, to listen to your question, your comment, your suggestion, anything you want. Okay, let's go.
That seems to me an easy thing for us to say. You know, I think we could say that and mean it. And I think those are really great words and feelings and intentions, because they all have to do with what nature wants and what spirit wants to happen through us, you know. We're articulating and being present and showing up for that next step, you know. Thank you. We are grateful. We are gathered to be able to receive a greater wisdom so that we might be able to help all living things. I mean, that's a prayer.
Aho, Mataki Uwasan, this is the place for all my relations, to bring celebration through meditation, giving thanks for all of creation. We are so provided for. 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 all of the blessings I received. How could they have been bestowed upon me? So I put it all back in the ground, back in the soil where I am found. It all started Waku Duncan, scan, scan. Something holy moves here on the land. It is my brother's and my sister's hands. It is the way we make our plans. We don't make them. Well, this is it. What is this? This is Eden. Eden is where I live and where I give my whole being to the Great Spirit. We are waiting and we're on our way. Oh, Mataku Asun, this is the place for all my relations to bring celebration to meditation, giving thanks for all of creation. We are so provided for. We are so provided for. We are so provided for. We are so provided for.
And that could be a song, you know, really.
Much better, so. Okay, here we are, and I am
If you're sharing a hotel room with friends.
Now, here we are again with Joshua Palmer, wonderful young poet, who probably we will have his book soon. And tell us, Joshua, where we can find your poem. It's in Instagram, you said. Can you?
Yeah, I have an Instagram. It's hi, I'm Joshua. It's hi, _I'm_Joshua. I also have a YouTube channel. I haven't done anything on it in a while, but it's a pocket full of gems.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, let's go and read this circus act.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing? It's from here to there?
Yep, that's
okay, it. Okay, don't rush because we have time.
Cool. All right, circus act. I am nothing and everything all at once. A teacher, always learning like a student. A student becoming a teacher who's never truant. Our egos want to be so much more than everybody. But in the end, we are all nobody. A speck of dust in an endless plain of sand. A fingerprint from a fingerless severed hand. The more I try to learn reveals how much I do not know. And we're all just playing characters in a collective improv show. But maybe it's not improv, and it's a scripted story. And we selfishly interrupt the flow by stealing all the glory, putting others below or above us on our own made-up pedestal. Maybe it's time I turn around to find out what's incredible. It's the connection that we have to the fractals of divine that reflect back what we are, and we find it all in time. To see myself in you is the truest form of love, and to hold no conditions for the line that sits above. You are everything that's worthy of love in the highest. And I promise when I say this that I am not being biased. So come, sit by my side, take some breaths with me. We'll ponder our existence and our whole reality over a few cups of wine, and we'll share a loaf of bread. And we'll conclude that when we die, we are never really dead. Although our body's finished and its story came to an end, our spirit will continue. It has nothing to pretend. Its freedom is eternal and knows all that it has done and all that it will do, for it has only just begun.
So when was this written? When did you write this?
Yeah, so funny thing about this one, it's kind of, I started it like 5 years ago, and then I came back to it last year and finished it. There's I have several poems that are like that.
Yeah, that happened often.
Mm-hmm.
Often it happened to writer
yeah.
or to any artist that you, even when you are writing, you start a book and the book doesn't have any appeal to mm-hmm. you. And Borges used to say, don't push. If the book doesn't call you, leave it.
Yeah.
It will call you later.
Right.
And it does. It does. And that means that you have to be ready to read that kind of literature. And so that this was a poem in progress.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way how I will call it.
Yeah.
And what is, in your opinion, the interpretation? How you want us to read this poem? What we, you want us to learn from this poem?
Hmm.
Is there something that you?
I guess it kind of relates to the one before.
Yes, it
like
does.
Kind of yes. a way to get to that space of openness is to, like, let go of the ego. Let go of, like, a concrete way of thinking where, like, being dead set on having, like, this is myself and this is what I think and, sorry, my brain is getting lost
no,
in
no,
words,
no,
but
no. Yeah. I follow you perfectly mm-hmm. well. I think it's the lack of communication, the lack of connection, and thinking only about ourselves. So
yeah.
you are trying here to, one more time, it is the connection that we have, he said, to the fractal of divine.
Yeah.
That reflect back what we are, and we find it all in time.
Mm-hmm.
To see myself in you is the truest form of love. Truest, how we pronounce that?
Truest.
Truest form of love. And to hold no condition for the line that sit above.
That was just a fun little play on like the line, like the,
yes.
Yeah, the line above that line.
Yes. So
yeah.
I think there are some not only connection, of course there is a connection, but there are some synchronicity in your writing. There
mm-hmm.
are some issue, subject, theme that repeat one,
right.
two, three times.
Yeah.
Have you identified them?
Yeah, so I feel like I have a lot of... I speak on like a universal level of and like spiritual level, that's kind of another way to answer the first question of kind of what I want the reader to like where I want the reader to get to, so just like a reminder that, you know, we're like, you know, speck of dust on an endless plane of sand, just like reminding everybody on how big the universe is and how small we really are. And
I agree with you. That is what I can read, but also I can read that there is always in your poem the desire to the unity within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm? That you can compress almost all all your different fragmentation
mm-hmm.
in one piece or in many pieces, but connected to one another.
Yeah.
That is one thing.
Right.
I think also it's a desire for getting a true identity.
Mm-hmm.
That is also in the three poems that you have read.
Yeah.
And the desire, the unity, the same unity that you want within yourself, you want it in society and in the world.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the general theme of all my poems is just love and what that means. And that I think that's who and what we all are at our core is love.
Yeah, and what is interesting also is that you said there is bad, there's good, there are nothing. You
yeah.
see, you are not even the person who is a criminal, still can be a good father, can be a good friend,
right.
can be a good, the best he can be, and we all are, in some way, what our past made us. the problem is when we become adult, is to choose, this is not, I don't want to keep this. Yeah. I want to clean, and I want to become this other person because now I have control who I want to become.
Right.
What I want to be.
Yeah, you choose what you identify with.
Yes.
Like, if you make a big mistake and a big action that causes so much harm to other people, you have the choice to either stay somebody who just keeps doing that and keeps hurting people, or to recognize how, like, the impact that they made on somebody else's life and turn yourself around to start recognizing ways that you could maybe
be better,
start treating yourself and other people with
repair what you damaged. Tell us a little bit about the role of music in your life, because you play the guitar and the ukulele.
Yeah. So that's like when I'm not feeling like I can put words on paper, or I don't know what song to listen to. I'm like, well, I want to listen to music, but I don't know what I want to listen to, so maybe I can just make it myself. So, yeah, and that's very therapeutic too, when I'm just feeling all these feelings and I don't even know where to start on articulating them. So it's like I can put those feelings into my fingers and into the instrument.
And why the ukulele? I am curious.
It's so little and cute, and it's so easy. It's so easy to learn. There's a song by Amanda Palmer. No relation, we have the same last name, but the ukulele anthem, where she says it takes about an hour to teach someone to play the ukulele, and that's totally true.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because Armin, who was here last week, or the last month, he also played the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
My husband used to play the charango, who is very similar to the ukulele.
Mm.
But didn't take 1 hour. No,
it
took many years.
That's true.
For him to learn how to play it. Very similar to the ukulele, but it's an instrument from the Andes.
Yeah,
Bolivia, Peru, and Chile, the north.
Right.
So it's beautiful. I would like you to look for music in the internet, and you will see the similarity in some way of the sound of the ukulele. Even the ukulele, I have the impression that it's a little bit smaller than the charango.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Yeah. And let's talk about the other side of Joshua. How do you do in life? What is your activity as a person who make a living, I mean?
Yeah. So for work, I do in-home caregiving. I take care of...
Good to know. You are going to be the one I will select to take care of me. So the best medicine will be point number one, point number 25, and how I will not have any memory. I will start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
All over again.
Exactly. I'll be there.
Okay, very good. And I am sure she is happy to have you because you are very talented and also young, so you bring a lot of joy to her.
Mm. Yeah, she brings joy to me too.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be there with her. She was a friend before. She's the reason I got into caregiving.
Yeah.
I met her while she was homeless, and when she got approved for assisted housing, they said she would need to have a caregiver. So she asked me if I wanted to go through the certification process,
That you do that every day?
Yeah, I'm there pretty much every day. Yeah. Especially, with her health the way she is, the way it is, she has a lot of stuff that she needs to do for her, so.
Oh, it's very good to know, because this is one of my biggest fear. I am completely alone in this country.
Mm.
And I always think that, oh my goodness, because my last brother died completely alone.
Mm.
And he was there for 20 days and nobody did anything.
Yeah.
And they didn't even allow me to see his body. Can you imagine how Wilson? Oh my goodness, I shouldn't be thinking about this. This is a program for joy. But this is what poetry does to you, bring that sensitivity, a sensibility, and you start thinking, because suffering is part of our life, and we have to acknowledge and we have to accept it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also how I relate poetry. Like, my poetry is like finding the beauty in suffering, and that there's always another side out of suffering. That
I think also is what that make us human. But indeed, it's not only human, because we see the dog, how much they suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have experience with cat, only with dog. And the dog that you rescue for a place and then you take it with you, how gentle and how appreciative and how much they show you their love and their fidelity, loyalty, because you took them out of that rescue place,
mm-hmm.
or that bad situation. So I was listening the other day to a wonderful Spanish writer who just died, and he said, more we become a dog, we become a tree, we become a stone, we are part of the whole universe.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to be, and we become with time. This is one of the gifts that old age bring to us, because we learn how to be sensible to trees, to flower, to insect, to pet, and to beauty around us. And this is what poetry also bring to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of another way to answer the question from earlier about the theme that my poems have. That is kind of the general theme, is like that, yeah, we're all part of the universe, but we all are the universe. We're all one connected being that's experiencing itself through these other, through all these different viewpoints.
And even if we are a very little part of the universe, still we move the universe in some way.
Yeah.
Huh? Not completely, but we destroy or we make improvement, and we have a making decision, how we said. And so we have an important role.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what is also very, it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
So how are you going to manage between the ukulele, the play, the become an actor, and become a poet? You want to keep doing the three together, or is the poet in a first category? Because time is also, everybody has 24 hours per day.
Right.
So how will you manage these three, plus your daily activity with the lucky woman who hire you?
Honestly, I don't even know.
lovely. I love people who are honest and who just said it, the first thing come to mind. I can give you an idea. I think priority. What you need, you can do a combination, because if you write a poem and you put music, perfect. And if you write a play, perfect. You're writing. Maybe you can write a monologue.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, what about publishing? We were talking before, if it's important to you to publish, it's important to get more reader. What idea do you have about how you project yourself as a writer the next 5 years?
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. I feel like right now I'm thinking of just self-publishing. I'm kind of working through if there's, some sort of like scarcity mindset behind that or fears around having somebody else publish for me or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I'm just kind of feeling it out, and just kind of first I'm going to at least compile some poems together and make some sort of format on how I want them to read in the style of a book. And
So you want to have completely control. It seems it's a very good idea. And also another thing I will suggest to you is that last year, for example, the Multnomah Library, they have a kind of a project, literary project. I participate, and my book was published as an e-book. So this is another possibility for you. You see that they were, you was in relation to autobiography, the subject more or less, could and was science fiction, and also poetry, I think. So you have to be attentive to this opportunity, because in Portland, as we were speaking before, there are so many people who write. So there are publishing company, and there are workshop, and there are places where you can go and you can read, and this way more good the universe bring to you more possibility and opportunity. That is, you are in the age where you need everything that can bring you, and that will be great. What do you think?
I think we were just getting transported to another land just then for a second.
Ender here is saying, oh, Consuelo, you have to cut, you have to cut. No, but we don't want to cut. It has been very, very nice to have you, Joshua, because that wonderful name, I love your name, by the
way.
Where it come from?
Given to me by my mama. Yeah, my middle name is David, Joshua David, so they're both from the Bible.
Yes, I knew that, but I wanted your explanation. Are you Jewish?
No, my parents are Christian. I was raised Christian, but I guess I'd say I'm more like agnostic.
Okay, you are agnostic.
Yeah, to put a label to it, I mean, personally, it's just like, I believe in spirituality.
I don't think that you're agnostic at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I only say that because I've had people like, had that label like placed on me. So
If you don't have a... If you don't have a particular religion that you follow, doesn't mean that you are agnostic.
Yeah,
because your poetry is your poems are very spiritual poems.
Yeah, like, and I believe in the teachings of Jesus.
Me too.
But I don't think that he never wanted people to make a religion based off of him. If you actually like listen to what he talks about and listen to his teachings, but
and so what he wanted. What do you think he wanted?
What he was trying to show.
Talking to everybody and trying to convert. Why did he? Because when he put Peter and gave to Peter the authority of the church, you don't think he was thinking about creating a movement? Peace and love, maybe?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that the movement was love and showing people that they all have that same power within themselves that he harnessed.
So can we have a go back to the other question about how do you see yourself in the 5 more years?
And
I think between the beach and the mountain, are you a mountain guy? Because you were born in Colorado, you were living very close to the mountain. Are you a mountain person?
I do love the mountains, but I also love the water.
Who doesn't? Yeah. I mean, we want it all, isn't it?
I get more afraid of the water, though, because there's so much uncertainty. With the mountains, I feel so at home and so comfortable. But I feel like there's so much growth to happen in uncertainty. So, but
yeah, it seems that sometimes the ocean, without any doubt, not only the ocean, the water in general, is not only powerful, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Can be very, very danger. Okay, now you have the floor, so you can say whatever you want, or you can ask whatever you want. Take it.
Yeah. It's just, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you all for listening. Yeah, I guess I would just take the opportunity to, again, like, promote like my Instagram if you want to listen to some more of my poems. I will also say that not all of my poems are all sunshine and rainbows and universe and everything. There's some that are very raw and very vulgar as well. but Yeah, Instagram again is hi_I'm_Joshua. I have my YouTube channel, Pocket Full of Gems. And
You're welcome to follow him and to like him and to read his poem like a prayer. It's like a prayer. I think this is an opportunity to open ourselves to our spirituality. And one way to do it, I will tell you, there are two things that I want to recommend you. One is to go to the Portland Art Museum. The French Impressionists are there, and there are so much to see. Oh, very interesting. Of course, many of you have seen it, some of this painter, but there are always a new painting that you haven't seen. That happened to me. I love Courbet, and I saw two paintings of him that I haven't seen before, in spite of many trips to France. And then there is a movie that is very interesting and very, I will say, linked to one of our future programs, because it's called Touch, and it's about an Hiroshima survivor. And so two things to keep enjoying this wonderful summer, and to be cool and cold, and to think that we have to be grateful to our life and our talent and our friend and our lover. So I will see you. I will see you. I wish I will come next, I will say, is the 16th. Friday 16th of August. Yes, I have, I think, somebody already coming that day, and we are going to keep looking, keep talking about the what happened.
We gotta finish.
Oh, okay. So let's finish. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.